fourth and final hour on this Monday afternoon. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, the game. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel will speak in about 10, 11 minutes from now. We will carry that live for you. So get the coach's reaction to the victory over the Bears, where they won by a touchdown. Short week, right back at it Thursday at home against the division foe, the Indianapolis Colts, who fell to the Ravens on Sunday at home, 24-10. So be interesting to see what was the effect from the injuries, and moving forward with the short week, what does that mean, especially the left side of the offensive line. I'll be very interested to see what news comes out on that front. Real quick, something we haven't talked about was, I know we talked a lot about Tennessee back then, but Florida-Georgia game on Saturday afternoon, the primetime game on CBS, lived up to the billing. That was a fantastic college football game. And I've got to be honest, Georgia's got major problems on offense. They have a quarterback issue. They have issues on offense. Their defense is good, although Florida carved them up. And I know they were missing a lot of key guys. But Kyle Trask is good. I didn't realize how good he was until I watched every snap on Saturday. Man, he makes some unbelievable throws. And I'll tell you what, his targets have some unbelievable hands. And oh, by the way, he lost Kyle Pitts, his biggest target for half of the game?
Yeah. Yeah, they threw the running backs a lot. Dan Mullen, we talked a lot about his antics, but he is a very good offensive mind. And in the context of what we were just talking about with the importance of quarterback play for Tennessee, quarterback play was the difference between Florida and Georgia. If you have a great quarterback at the helm for Georgia, I think the rest of their team is still good enough, even though they've got some injury issues that have hurt them. Stetson Bennett is an overachiever. He's done a nice job. But Kyle Trask is an elite quarterback.
He really is. I don't know.
He's sort of come out of nowhere. I don't know if there was a lot of hype to him, but he is who he is. Like, he's the fast riser, almost like a Joe Burrow, where now he's playing at a level that is going to give them a chance against almost anybody they play, right?
Yeah. I mean, looking at their schedule, what's left, and I mean, that Texas A&M game was a fantastic shootout that they lost. But I mean, I don't see another loss for Florida on this schedule, and they're going to, you know, I would imagine right now it's going to be Alabama, Florida in the SEC championship game, barring any unforeseen circumstances. And I look forward to that. Got a while, but I look forward to that matchup. I mean, they were down, what was it, 14-0?
14-0, 3.5 minutes in.
Right. And I had
bitter beer face because that was my underdog pick of Florida. And it was like, rut-row.
So did I. Because you and I loved Florida. We were both all
loved
over that.
Loved Florida.
And I'm sitting there
my
watching
Draft
it, too.
My DraftKings account shows how much I loved Florida.
Does it?
Just saying.
Does it?
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep checking on you guys. I'm just going to keep reading the signals. Okay, so far, so good. Okay.
We're good. We're feeling
right.
Very good.
Just want to check.
After this
good
weekend.
Good weekend.
I'm your conscience.
Ready?
Just making
break.
Sure we're sticking to the budget, sticking to the, you know, not out
I
of control.
I am fully clothed.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
We're
good.
Yeah, we're totally good. You know, like I said, could have been better, but still very good. So, but yeah, Florida, Kyle Trask, I mean, I think that's a good comparison with Burrow. Is he this year's version of Burrow?
And they threw that out in the first week. I remember I kind of honed in on that. I heard some SEC Network guys say that, and I was like, really? Are we going that far? And, you know, they have been proven right because he's now getting into the Heisman discussion. Whether he wins it or not is a different thing, but he's done really well. We caution that in 2020 we expect the unexpected, so I don't know if I would assume that they're just going to cruise into the SEC championship game, but they have a pathway without a doubt. And, of course, their only loss is Texas A&M in a game that they led for most of the way at Texas A&M.
And by the way, how good does A&M look right now?
They look really good, and now I don't know if you guys just saw this. I saw Vince's tweet, but Texas A&M has reported that they've had to pause activities. They've had a couple of positive cases. They're doing the contact tracing. So now that could add a little wild card into Saturday's game against Tennessee. But you're right, Texas A&M, they're moving in the right direction. They're number seven. Quietly, they're sitting there going, hey, we're number seven.
But they will, of course, with a lot more wins ahead of them, by the way.
Right. And so I guess in the perfect scenario, they could be sitting there at the end of the year with one loss, not in the championship game, and sitting there going, is it good enough to get us into the playoff? I doubt it. But stranger things have happened. Our only loss is to Alabama, they could be saying, at the end of the year.
Is Kyle Pitts coming out after this year?
Is he eligible?
I think that's what I'm asking. Isn't he a junior?
I don't know.
I'm just telling you right now, the Titans should be very interested in him.
You like him?
Yes, I do. I really do.
Yeah, he's a junior.
That guy is ridiculously good. He's a mammoth target, and he's got great hands. Some of those catches, come on, Willie. At the college level, some of those catches, those guys were – they made Kyle – now, Kyle Trask was making incredible throws, but that those catches, a lot of them don't always get caught. And guys draped all over them, man.
He's outstanding.
They were hauling them all – and by the way, how good is Trask leading the receiver or the running back downfield? Like, so many times we've talked about quarterbacks are not good at that. I didn't think Mariota was very good at that. Trask is, like, perfect. He just lays it out there. Look, those wheel routes those running backs were running, I felt like they were good for 20, 25 yards every time.
He was on fire. He was on fire. I was listening to a little bit of Gene Chizik in the late night, you know, wrap-up. I think it was right – it was after the – it was maybe
SEC
during
now.
The pause –
SEC
of
now,
the
yeah.
The Clemson-Notre Dame game. Remember, they had so many reviews and delays and double overtime. So I just – we're slipping back and forth. Gene Chizik was glowing about Trask and how good he is. But here's again, reason to caution as we start looking in our crystal ball of who's putting themselves in position. We said it earlier, Arkansas coach Sam Pittman test positive for the virus. LSU has had another outbreak, which they had a bunch of in the summer.
That game's in jeopardy this against Alabama.
Against Alabama. And the Texas A&M postpones practice. Now, we don't – maybe it's more of the NFL style. It's only a couple cases. They can control it. But we know how it works on a college campus, right? Remember, we talked to Will Healy on one day. It was Thursday. And then the next day, they can't travel. So it can hit your team – so quick, Vanderbilt only had 55 players on scholarship for their game in Starkville. So once again, what teams can do the best job under tough, tough circumstances staying available for their games, right? It is a challenge on top of all the normal challenges you have. We've said it many times, but it's coming to fruition again.
We will come back with Titans head coach Mike Vrabel, his weekly Monday presser following a game, their victory over Chicago, and getting ready for the short week. Right now, I want to talk to you about Cool Springs MD, my friends over there, because I've been going there for years, and I know a lot of you have in this area, and they've been around since 2007, helping a lot of you improve your quality of life, and who doesn't want that? They've got a very experienced staff over there that can help you in so many categories, and I'll talk about that in just a moment. But Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse. And like I said, they house so many things under one roof there at Cool Springs MD. Whether it's hormone replacement therapy, maybe you haven't been feeling yourself lately. You've been feeling off, feeling a little sluggish. Go over there and talk to them about that. They'll check your levels. Maybe your levels have dipped. That happens as we get older. And maybe that is affecting your mood, your energy levels. And you can talk to them about the face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management. Boy, that's so critical. It's really critical anytime, but especially in 2020. We get it. Maybe you've been out of your routine and just haven't gotten back into your routine. And you've probably put on some unwanted pounds. Well, they've got people and programs that can get you headed in the right direction. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can learn everything about them by going to their website, coolspringsmd.com. Well, you can tell everybody. All right, let's head over to St. Thomas Sports Park, the Titans facility, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. Here's head coach Mike Vrabel.
Football team. So it'll be a great challenge for us to not only get prepared for them, but also recover from yesterday.
Jim?
Mike, how much time do you spend this week reviewing, making corrections, and how much do you just get straight to Indy?
Well, you don't have a whole lot of time, so we have to make corrections quickly here today on a short turnaround, but then also move on and move forward to our preparation. And so it's kind of it's a quick fix of things that we really need to get fixed, and then probably do some of that again throughout the week as we build for Indianapolis. But we got to get going on these guys and study their personnel, study what they like to do, and go from there.
Corey?
Coach, I know yesterday you weren't entirely pleased with the finish to the game. Part of that wound up with your defense having to play 75 snaps. How big of a part of your angst was that snap count total?
Again, I just, we want to be able to control football games, and we were in a position to do that, and then, that kind of, slipped away a little bit. So I think you want to finish the games pretty much in the same manner in which you played most of it. Again, we have to play as many snaps as that we have to win, but I felt like we needed a complimentary effort from everybody in all three phases to close out that football game.
Teron?
Coach, when you're on such a short week and have a quick turnaround like that, knowing how physical your team plays ball and then how physical the Colts play football, does that kind of factor into your management of the players overall in yesterday's game?
Well, I mean, you have to do everything you can do to win a football game and then make decisions in the best interest of the players and the team, and I think that's all we were trying to do with a couple guys. And it wasn't anything out of the ordinary, but maybe a few guys, got out of there maybe with a few less snaps towards the end of the game.
And then after the game yesterday, AJ talked about establishing himself as a vertical guy as well, not just a yards after catch receiver. When you're able to show yourself as a well-rounded player like that, like what will that do for Brown as a receiver?
Well, I'd hope he'd want to block well too in the run game, and be able to hit some of those passes that we throw down the field. But I know AJ has high expectations for himself, and so do we. He's got good play strength, really good hands. I think we all can improve in our passing game, judging from yesterday.
And in AJ's defense, I asked him specifically about improving as a vertical guy. He didn't leave the blocking up.
That's okay. I mean, you don't have to apologize for. I just was saying, like, those are all things that go into a great receiver. You mentioned about a complete receiver, and I just, wanted to bring in there that those complete receivers, those guys. You look at Larry Fitzgerald, arguably statistically one of the best receivers to ever play. He's also probably one of the best blocking receivers to ever play.
Joe?
Like, how the changes on the Colts defense, what have those done for them? How different is that defense from last year to this year?
I don't see a whole lot of difference. I mean, I think that they're fast, they're aggressive, they move well. There's a few guys that are different. I think the majority of the scheme has stayed the same, but it's hard to run the football on them. Statistically, I mean, you look at how they started the game the other day against the Ravens. At one point they had rushed the ball 50 times, 50 yards. The Ravens had maybe 5 yards rushing. So it'll be a great challenge for us to run the football, but also to stop the run. They found ways to run it. Yesterday, early, especially, and they didn't close it out, you know, but they came out. You know, it was pretty impressive the first quarter that they had yesterday against the Ravens.
Paul?
Mike, I was hoping you could kind of talk us through the early deep ball miss. Both AJ and Ryan talked about communication issue there, but it seemed like maybe there was more to that. And I'm just kind of curious if you could talk us through what happened. AJ seemed to kind of slow early, look back early.
Yeah, I think that when you talk about those, you know, hitting those shots down the field, there's a lot that goes into it. You know, the leverage of the defender, how quickly the quarterback has to maybe get rid of the football. You know, we have to do a better job of working those, you know, in practice. But there, you know, there's a lot of reasons that you don't have successful plays, and, you know, making sure that both guys are on the same page as far as when I'm coming to you, or when, you know, I mean, you have to think that when the ball's in the air, you know, it's your ball to go get. And I think that's just the message that we try to make to all our tight ends, receivers, or anybody, is that you got to feel like the ball is coming to you on every play. Sometimes it doesn't, but if you take that attitude that it's your ball and that you're getting it on every route, you know, you're working to get open and working to be in a position to help the quarterback.
I know you want them all, but your hit rate's been pretty good, yeah?
Again, I mean, I think that we just have to continue to work it, rep it. We have to be able to do some of that. You know, we have to be able to take advantage of that and those opportunities when they give it to us in coverage. Guys aren't backed up. If you know, middle fields, you know, safeties not able to get over there. Those are the plays that we have to try to hit, like we did, you know, later on with AJ for the touchdown. So those are momentum changers. They change field position. So it's hard to drive the football, you know, 10 or 12 plays against, you know, especially the Colts.
Terry?
Mike, after watching the film, how did some of your lesser experienced guys like Roberson and Borders and Tart grade out, and how much trust do they earn going forward that they can help you?
You know, I think all those guys will earn more opportunity here against the, you know, the Colts. You know, it'll be important that they, you know, don't spend a whole lot of time in the batter's box staring at the home run, that they move on like we always try to do, whether we win or lose. And that's our whole focus, you know, is to make sure that these guys are, you know, consistent and built in and trying to earn, you know, larger roles.
Jared?
Yeah, Mike, I know you've stressed how important keys to the game are. With the Indy game, what kind of keys are you stressing to the team?
Well, you know, we'll try to leave that in-house, you know, Jared, but as always, it's important to take care of the football. You see the difference it makes when we're able to turn the football over, like we did yesterday. But they play extremely hard. You know, a lot of respect for Frank and his staff and his players. These usually are pretty tightly contested games. And a lot of respect for Chris Ballard and what they've done as an organization. So This will be a great challenge for us and something that we're excited to be ready to get ready for.
John Glenn.
Mike, midpoint of the season here, are there one or two things that maybe you are particularly pleased about this team, and maybe one or two on the other hand that in particular you need to see improvement from?
No, I'm just going to hold on the midseason report. I'm sure you're putting it together for tomorrow, but I'm going to hold on the midseason report card.
Okay. What I was going to ask also, I guess the window now is Wednesday for Adoree. Is the plan to activate him, Wednesday?
The plan is to evaluate him, John, and see if we feel like that, and he feels like that he can play football. You know, that's what the plan is to try to evaluate him here. And then, yeah, make a decision on Wednesday. That's all we can do. That's all we can ask him to do is continue to work and to get to a point where he feels like he can contribute and he can help us on the field.
Thanks.
Steve Lehman.
Mike, your two new cornerbacks yesterday, or newish cornerbacks with Breon and then Desmond, how do you think they performed? And I guess on the outside, it seems like a Herculean task for a guy to walk into a building and meet guys on Saturday and then go out and perform on Sunday. Do we make too much of that, or do you sit back and think that was pretty impressive what Desmond did yesterday as well?
Again, I think he earned the respect of a lot of people within our organization, our coaches and players, and, you know, John and his staff, just by being able to learn everything virtually, come in, have some communication and some interaction with the players on Saturday, and then going out there and playing a lot of snaps and really, you know, competing and doing a nice job. There's plays he'd like to have back and things that we'll coach him on. But, you know, when you love football, you find ways to do your job. You know, he's been ready for his opportunity, and, you know, he'll earn more snaps based on, you know, the job that he did yesterday.
Terry?
Mike, how close was Clowney to being able to go yesterday? There were reports that he might need surgery and that sort of thing. Do you anticipate having him going forward?
Wasn't close enough to play, Terry. We'll see how it goes this week.
Chris Harris.
Mike, you mentioned yesterday just like the punt coverage and protection. Sorry, the punt protection could have been better. But just from like a snapping standpoint with Overton and then Ryan Allen filling in as a punter, do you feel that they did all right and what they needed to do?
Yeah, I mean, let's not lower the bar so much that we're, you know, just snapping the ball back. Yeah, I mean, everybody's got a job. You know, we got to get the ball back there. You know, we got to protect. But to have Ryan come in there on one day notice workout and go and kick and be able to hold, you know, for Steven, I thought that was, you know, pretty good. And we got to protect him better. So we'll see, you know, by putting some work in this week, if that can improve.
Corey?
Coach, after last season, you talked about the, you know, the desire for home playoff games. You're in the position that you're in right now. How big is this one towards getting you to that goal?
They're always big, Corey. The next one is bigger than the one before. You know what I mean? That's just how that's what this league is about. You know what I mean? We're not, no one's talking about playoffs. No one's talking about hosting games other than, yeah, that's always going to be the goal, is that finding ways to get there and have them here. But right now it's about the preparation and the recovery that's going to be needed to win a game on Thursday night.
Jim?
Mike, did you give any thought to challenging the Jeffrey Simmons play down near the end zone, interception or not?
No, I mean, I don't think we got a great look at it. And, you know, a lot in all of my conversations with the replay officials in the with the league office, you know, a lot of those are going to go with the call on the field if they're that close. You know, I'm familiar that they overturned one, you know, late in the game, yesterday, somewhere else. But, you know, it's just hard. You know what I mean? It's hard to think, you know, that they saw it. If they had any doubt that the call on the field is gonna stand, so to try to get that overturned, I didn't feel like that was something that was gonna be possible.
And one on just the job that covers teams, Allen more of a line drive kicker, where Kern's more of a directional guy, kicks a lot out of bounds. How much changes for the coverage guys and how they approach field and covering punts now?
Yeah, I mean, we all have to, you know, do our job. You know, those guys on the outside got to win sometimes against double teams. And then, you know, we got to get off blocks inside and we got to go cover. And I felt like they did. You know, did do a nice job. I think that the protection could be better. The, you know, the fake was something we're not looking for. We have to be better there. And then, but I did feel like they covered in Kalu and Milton and those guys, that, you know, Bates, Zubnar. I thought, you know, we took care of 84. you know, on a double team one time. Bates had a nice high screen, gained 21 yards. So our return phase, and that punt return got going a little bit too.
Emily?
Hey, Coach. Jeffrey was telling us after the game that, you know, obviously you guys prepare hard and practice hard, but that the defense was kind of just missing that swagger. Do you think, based on what you saw, that A, they got it back, and B, why is that such an important thing for a defense to have a little bit of that, a little bit of that identity?
You know, I mean, I guess defense is played with effort, energy, excitement, which you can have when there's things to cheer about. I think you go out there and you create it by making plays, by being disruptive, communicating, not just giving up a bunch of yards and touchdowns. Hard to be excited about that. I mean,
last two, Chris.
Yeah, Mike, do you have an update on Roger Saffold?
Nope. And Corey?
You thought that was funny, Robbie?
Yeah.
Have a gotcha there from Glennon.
Gotcha.
Monday form. Yeah, that was good. Corey, you want to finish this up?
Yeah, I just wanted to ask you about Ty. You were really pleased after the Cincinnati game, and obviously he had his hands full with a couple of really good players this week. Did he back up that Cincinnati performance with another one?
He's battling. You know what I mean? He's battling. I'm glad he's here. You know what I mean? I'm glad. I love his professionalism, his ability to, you know, to come in and be ready to go. And now he's into a starter's role, and you know, not perfect. And again, nobody is, but he's battling. And, you know, I'm glad that we have Ty. You know, I really am. And just to update you on the injuries, you know, Robbie will get that out here at 3 o'clock today.
That is head coach Mike Vrabel, and that was brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville. His Monday presser coming off the 24-17 victory over Chicago. Short week as they get prepared for a division foe and the Colts on Thursday night at Nissan Stadium. Willie, anything jump out at you, what we just heard?
Well, even on a short week, it's not surprising. We don't get any window into injury situations, so that can't be a surprise. He did give us a little bit of, I guess it's still sort of a non-answer on Adoree Jackson. They're going to evaluate him, of course, as they do every day, but Wednesday's a big day, right? You got to decide, can he help the team? And if he can't, is it worth activating him and then sitting him if you have to on Thursday to get him for the last 6-7 games? I got to believe, unless it's really, really a problem, that he'll be activated on Wednesday. I don't know if he's going to play on Thursday, but my goodness, that would be a blow if they don't even activate him on Wednesday. I'm surprised they don't have a better picture. Yes, we're going to activate him. I don't know if he's going to play, but they may
have a better picture. They're just not telling us.
Right. I suspect that that is the case. And the only good soundbite I thought was in there was, yes, some of these new guys did a nice job, Roberson and Borders and et cetera. You know, King, obviously. Don't spend too much time in the batter's box admiring your home run. You got to get to the next challenge, and the challenge is going to be greater. And then from a stat standpoint, the only thing I thought was interesting was the defense was on the field for 75 snaps again. So that's the third straight week that they have had big time of possession deficits. Right, and we can weigh, you know, the importance of that, but it does leave that team on the field a lot, right? And so they're still going to be ranked way down there in terms of overall time of possession. Now, they were protecting a lead, and the Bears had a lot of that time of possession in the second half playing comeback. And, of course, the Titans had a defensive touchdown, so instantly the defense scores and then has to go right back on the field. So it's a little different. You have to look at the circumstances, but the defense has had a lot of wear and tear.
Yeah, so I don't expect Mike Vrabel to give us much on anything when it comes to Adoree Jackson. He's just not that type. He's not going to be forthcoming, and that's his prerogative, whatever. But I agree. I think they're going to have to, if he's anywhere near close and can help this team later on in the year, then you activate him and you figure it out for Thursday and just use up that roster spot, because that's certainly somebody that, you know, if you get if you can get some type of play like you saw yesterday out of the defense, and it, the secondary especially wasn't perfect, but you added Dory Jackson to the mix, it can only get better. So the question will continue to be, when is he actually going to be available? Because I guess right now I don't feel good about Thursday, but who knows?
I'm kind of done with this topic. I just want a decision made. Like, I'm kind of over it. Honestly, well, it's like, okay, we've talked about this.
Wednesday
we've talked about this for 3+ weeks.
But we knew the window was 3 weeks.
Because I thought he was going to be playing every week, and he hasn't played once. And so I just would like to know, is this guy available this year, or is he not?
Well, I understand that. But we knew what the window was. I mean, they always had 3 weeks or 21 days from the point that they took him, or they, however they word it, activate, you know, for him to return and make that decision. So we knew they had that 3-week window.
I understand that. I understand the formality. I know I've been bringing it up for 3 weeks, but I'm just saying they know. They have to have an idea one way or the other. I just would love to know what is it. They're not going to tell us, but they have to have an idea behind the scenes of this is 50-50, this is 80-20, one way or 80-20 the other way. I mean, they have an idea. I just would love to know, where is he? Like, how close or how close is he not from actually being a part of this team this season? That's what I just would love to know.
So what we do know is he has, at times during this recall, right, since he's come back, started to practice and then had to not practice. So something is keeping him from doing the regular stair steps that you map out. I mean, Darren, you and I have torn ACL physical therapy stuff, right? They give you the plan. Okay, here's what we're going to do today. Next time you come in, we're going to do this. And then, okay, here's where you were last week. Here's where you are this week. Something has not been quite right with Jackson, because you don't activate a guy off of, you know, the prepare to return and then have him start practicing and then suddenly he can't practice. Something has complicated this.
Well, there's been a setback.
Yes.
And I think that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, I think that's one word you could use for sure. But what is it? We don't know any of the specifics of it. And so it does, because all of us have sort of assumed, well, surely if he's not ready this week, with another week of this, he'll be ready. But maybe there's something complicated about it, and maybe it's like Clowney. Clowney, from what we know about meniscus, right, which we got from a national reporter and not from the staff itself, we know that there's a lot of different ways meniscus injuries can go, right, depending on the specifics of it. Depending on whether you want to try to rush and stay on the field or look long-term and correct it and maybe sit out longer because of it. So maybe there's something like that with Jackson. I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of big questions, and every team's got them, right? But these are – we talk about Jackson, Clowney, Saffold, three really, really important players that we have uncertainty on.
But as both of you have said, that's the NFL. I mean, that's what happens when you get to this point. So you just got to power through. And we know that the tests that they have over the next 3 weeks, but we're going to learn a lot about this team and where they're going to be playoff-wise. I know Mike kind of dismissed that. You know, we're not thinking playoffs. Yeah, okay. Sure they are. And that's a normal thing to think. And they know how important the next three games are when it comes to that. So, yeah, they're thinking about it. He's just not going to tell us that.
Isn't that funny? Like, if you want a non-answer, I texted you guys this during the thing while I was going on. If you want a non-answer from Mike Vrabel, just say, how big is this game? Because he's going to say the same thing he says every week. It's the biggest one we have this week.
What do you think?
Just can't say that out loud.
Like, it's what do you think the coach is going to say?
It's a waste of air to
you
even
think this is
try
a big game.
That.
How big is this game?
Don't ask me any more questions about this.
I mean, what do you think he's honestly going to say?
Right.
I mean, look.
I get it. But
we should take care of business.
It's usually a TV person that asks. They want to project in their newscast how big this game is. It is a big game. Right, we know that, and the coach deep down knows it, but the coach is not going to give you the soundbite you want. We just know that. So it's not even worth your time to ask the question. Not worth
There was another coach in town that if you asked the same question, you got the same result.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He wasn't a football coach. He was a hockey coach. And You know, asking how big a game is to him, you, the same results as Mike Vrabel. I mean, you're going to get
James Franklin
nothing.
Would be in that club.
Oh,
as well.
James,
we want to go 1-0 this 1-0. Week.
1-0. We're just trying to win the week. That's all we're trying to do.
They all have their coach the speak answers.
Yeah. Most coaches go that route. Most of them do. And some are more emphatic, and some are more predictable. You know exactly what they're going to say.
Saban just yells at you, you know, when he doesn't want to answer something.
Or slaps you. Not in the face, for people who don't know. Slaps your leg, just so you know. I don't want to create something that didn't happen. He didn't slap me in the face. He slapped my leg.
Just be glad that the rule. Just be glad that the rule
Elijah's
that might be in
to find
place
that right now. I can just
see Darren, it. Because the question where you got your knee slapped had to do with, you know, trying to keep people happy. You got all these layers of talent.
And, oh, by the way, did you catch our guest on Friday's show talked about that very thing that I asked Nick Saban that he slapped my leg over, and he was talking about waiting your turn at Alabama.
Yeah. Now, can you imagine how hard he would have slapped your leg if you could if they put in the rule that you can transfer and not sit out? He would. I mean, you'd still have a bruise on your leg.
Do it again.
I mean, this is recruiting propaganda, you know, from – you must be from Tennessee.
There you go.
That
yeah,
was,
Nick. Well, we're
was a
asking
real snap.
You. I asked you the question in Nashville. So yeah, I mean we're in Tennessee. Yep, yep. I asked you that at the downtown Omni.
Propaganda.
I simply asked how difficult is the challenge, trying to keep everybody happy and on course to wait to bide their time, which I didn't think was an unfair question. We see it all the time, and he called it recruiting propaganda. Like, that nobody, everybody is his. Basically, what he was the picture he was trying to paint is these kids come here knowing that they just sit and they wait patiently, and when their number's called, they're ready to go in. I mean, that's and he didn't want to talk about, you know, we don't have 5-star recruits piled on top of 5-star recruits just waiting their turn. How dare you say that? Because that discourages people. If you're listening to that, I'm not going there and waiting. I'm going to go somewhere else. That's why he doesn't want that out there.
Yeah, he said something else as he's on my TV now. He said something else a couple of years ago about going to the bathroom and another player coming out same along those same lines. He doesn't like those questions.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. We all know it's true.
We will come back and put a bow on this very lively Monday show, which has been a lot of fun. But right now, I want to talk to you about Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey. You hear us talking about this because they're sponsor of the show. We're very, very excited about that. If you're just kind of learning about Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey, well, it's crafted in Memphis. It's unfiltered. It's 93 proof. It's a Kentucky 4-year-old bourbon. It's raised, though, in Memphis, Tennessee, but it's distilled in Kentucky. And they also have a small batch straight bourbon whiskey. It's MSRP at $29.99 on the shelves. And if you're looking for something in this area, well, it's very simple. You go to BlueNoteBourbon.com if you want to find out where you can get it here in Middle Tennessee. Like I said, it goes for about $29.99 a bottle, but their 9-year small batch goes for around $50, and it's Blue Note Juke Joint. It's an easy-sipping, approachable bourbon that is surprisingly complex for the price. Blue Note Juke Joint Whiskey, smoother than smooth. Please drink responsibly. Monday Night Football, boy, it's a doozy. Jets and Patriots, get up for that or don't.
Hey, some of us are invested in that.
Well, let's look at it this way.
Still underdog picks.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, so you have that, which is very, very, very important.
Herm broke
my heart. Very important.
Oh, Herm, my heart.
We'll have to get to that. There were some heartbreakers. Chris had 2 heartbreakers, but if the Patriots are still anything close to the Patriots, which we suspect they're not, they should have their way with the Jets. But I don't know. I think this is going to be a challenge here.
We suspect they're not. You don't believe they're at the level we've seen the last 2 decades?
Okay, but we know how bad the Jets are. So I guess that's what I'm asking is, is this an easy Patriots win, as bad as the Jets are, or do you think the Jets have a chance?
I don't know. I think it's just two bad football teams.
But somebody's got to win.
Yep, somebody.
That's not true.
That's not true. We've already had a tie this season.
This is true. But one is less bad than the other, right?
The Patriots are definitely less bad than the other.
Right, it but is, the Patriots' standard, they are terrible by their standards, but are they even going to put up a whimper of protest, or are they just going to sink on down to the bottom and pick in the top 10 next year? Are they on that direction?
Oh.
If so, we're going to see something tonight, right? The Jets will be in this game.
I don't know why I feel this way. Maybe I should go look at both of their schedules. I just have a feeling, unfortunately, and I hope I'm wrong, that Trevor Lawrence is going to end up in this division. I don't know why I feel that way, but
in the South?
In the AFC South. I feel like he's somehow Jacksonville's going to find a way to have the worst record. By the way, they haven't won since the first week of the season. Well, remember the question?
Feels so long ago.
Jacksonville better than what we thought?
Tough out.
Yeah.
I told them it was going to be a tough out. Not so much. That was a freezing cold take.
I will say this. Jacksonville definitely looks better of the two poo teams. They look better than the Jets. The Jets, let's see, Patriots tonight, Chargers, Dolphins, Raiders, Seahawks, Rams, Browns, Patriots.
So two with the Patriots.
Two with the Patriots. That did not seem promising, did it? There did not seem to be a whole lot of light at the end of that tunnel. Let's see what the Jags have left. And they fought all the way to the end. They came up short, but they fought with the Texans. Let's see. Packers, Steelers, Browns, yikes. Vikings, Titans, Ravens, Bears, Colts. There's a whole lot of losses in there. So, yeah, maybe. I don't know. To me, Jets are going to have to stay. They're going to have to go 0-16 probably, right? I don't know how the tiebreaker, if they both finish with one win, how does that work?
We got a long way to go.
I know.
Got a long way to go.
Coin toss, or
those two teams look like their season is what it is. Like this may be. I mean, did you just hear in those two schedules? The Jags schedule sounds terrible the rest of the way. I would say what the Bears is their best chance at winning. See, this goes back to what we were talking about last week, that you didn't seem to be on the same wavelength as Chase and I, or me, Chase and me. The Vikings are much better than their schedule, than their record. They are a much better team than their record indicates. They're actually a pretty good team. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but they're pretty good. I don't know what that was going on in the background.
I opened a box score and something started playing.
But the Bears seem like the best opportunity for Jacksonville, and they're pretty good. They're okay. At least they have a defense. The Jets, what did you see as the possibilities for wins out of the remaining schedule they have? Probably the two games against the Patriots, right?
It doesn't look good.
I mean, Chargers, once again, are better than their record indicates, right? They're right there. I mean, they're right there.
If you look at two win teams, one win teams, and then of course the Jets who haven't won, there are some levels. Like I still put the Texans in a category of, you know, you don't sit there and go they can't win. There's the Jets you look at and you're like, I just don't see how this team can win. I would have put the Cowboys in that category. But that kid Gilbert, I guess he's not a kid, he's actually been around for a good while. He played so much better than we expected he could. Maybe that gives the Cowboys a little hope. As bad as that division is, he gave them at least some life and some belief. But you know what I'm saying? Like when you get into that second half, fourth quarter of an NFL season, as players start dropping like flies and the bad teams just have the wheels fall off.
They crater. Yep, they crater.
There are some bad teams where you go into the last few weeks saying that team just cannot win a game, most likely, unless it's a fluke. And there's some teams that aren't very good, but you're like, well, they still have just Deshaun Watson. or they still have Dalvin Cook. They've underachieved, but they're still dangerous. You know, even with the Bengals, well, they got Joe Burrow, right? They have something that they're bringing to the table. The Jets don't appear to have anything that they're bringing to the table right now.
If the Jets,
that's why I'm wondering how easily the Patriots can beat them tonight, because the Patriots have got so many problems.
They do.
That line is now 10.
Yep. Cam's got 10. A fumbling problem. He probably needs to hold on to the ball. Fumbling, job security, or ball security and job security may be on the line. If they keep losing, eventually we probably see Stidham if they just keep losing. But it's not – like Trevor Lawrence is not going back to Clemson. I know he said that. He's not going back to school. But if the Jets get the number one pick, if you're Trevor Lawrence in his camp, do you pull an Eli Manning and tell the Jets, like, we're not playing for you? Like, we're not going there, so don't draft us. We're not going to play for you guys.
We haven't seen that, I guess, since Eli Manning.
Has there been any more examples of that since
John Elway did it?
I mean, Elway.
Well, right, but that was the example, right? Elway, then Eli. Has there been anything after that?
Not that I can think of to that magnitude.
I can't remember anybody else dictating.
So you're saying if the Jags had the first pick, he'd say, well, I'm coming out. I'm coming out, man. I want to play for the Jags.
At least Jacksonville's a nicer place to live, I guess. I don't know. Well, weather-wise,
speak for yourself. Weather-wise, I don't know about that. I've lived in New York and I've lived in Florida. I don't know. If it just depends on what floats your boat.
I said weather-wise.
You know what you're getting. I mean, if you're the best player and you know you're the number one overall pick, you're going to a crappy team. That's what it is. A long time it was Cleveland.
The Jets and the Jags are, along with the Bengals, those are probably the three. Raiders, four. Those are like the identified as the four worst. And Jags and Jets are probably identified as the worst run. Or Detroit's in there. There's probably your top five worst run franchises in the league. Anybody have any pushback on that?
No. Bad owners.
Bad ownership. Just always seem to never get things right. So, yeah, I mean, you're probably gonna go to maybe the two worst. Maybe, I guess, depending on
Trevor
how you look
Lawrence
at it.
Is not coming back to Clemson.
No, he's not
coming back.
But does he dictate where he plays? Does he dare do that?
I don't know.
He can go to Dallas. Dallas can keep sucking. That's fine. He can go there. I like Dak, but you know, Trevor's cheaper.
As we move out of here, did you guys see that Mississippi State now has a COVID?
Yep.
Issue and they've had to shut down. So there's a couple of SEC games that could be up in the air here. Mississippi State against Auburn. LSU has had an outbreak. They play Alabama. Arkansas's coach has tested positive for the virus. This has not been a good Monday as far as that goes in the league.
And we'll talk about it tomorrow. And will we will we talk about Notre Dame? I mean, we'll talk about it a little bit more. We need to address that. It was a really, really bad look to a great game on Saturday night on NBC. But gosh, did it finish?
What are you thinking?
Finish wrong. But that'll do it for us today. Enjoy the rest of your day, man. How do you not love 80 degrees in mid-November?
I'm going outside.
No kidding. Go have a great rest of your day. Be safe. We want you back with us bright and early tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. We'll see you then.